United States against Mugalu is our next case for argument.
May it please the Honorable Court, good morning. I'm Ralph Metrick. I'm one of the lawyers for Mr. Mugalu. Mr. Mugalu this morning complains about the suppression of what we believe to be material evidence affecting the outcome of his case. And we think, and this isn't hyperbole, it's my position respectfully that the government on the day of sentencing literally dropped a bombshell into counsel's lap. That bombshell was a memorandum prepared by agents of Health, Education, and Human Services. Now, memorandum was...
There's no such thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Judge. HHS. I always confuse the two. I guess I live in the past.
Department of Health, Education, and Welfare.
Yes, it's quite
but
clear.
But as we know, the Department of Education was split off into the Department of Energy. And I would have been here for the first case.
Thank you. And that's why I'm confused. All I could say, it was a relevant material memorandum of law that we believe materially affected or undermined the jury's verdict in this case. It would have undermined the jury's verdict in this case. Quite briefly, the star government prosecution witness was a man named Lovato.
Look.
Yes.
I would regard this as inverse Brady material, material that the government would have loved to introduce. What it suggests is that Mugalu was bribed to keep prescribing a drug that kills people.
Right? That's right.
He's an accomplice to murder. How is it going to help him with the jury?
Oh, Judge, it would help because the jury never knew that Lovato was under investigation.
But if Lovato is under investigation for murder or what have you, Mugalu is his accomplice. How could that possibly help you with the jury?
Well, it's Mugalu didn't know anything about that.
Oh, come on. Mugalu, by accepting bribes, is prescribing a dangerous drug.
True.
That's very bad.
No.
He wouldn't like it. Doesn't like people.
That was never developed. He didn't know it was a dangerous drug. He only knew it was a blunt thinner.
A lot of good that'll do him, right?
Your Honor, I'm sorry.
He takes bribes. As a result, people are murdered by his drug. He doesn't know he's murdering them. He just knows he's taking bribes, right? It's like the druggie. You know, the drug dealers. They kill people, right? Overdoses.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, I didn't intend to kill anybody, which, of course, is true. They're their customers. They don't want to kill them. But you get
Maybe I'm missing the point. But
yeah, you are missing the point. Look, it cannot help Mugalu to be identified as someone who, by taking bribes, endangered all sorts of people who take drugs.
But see,
right?
That's the point. I think that is the point. Mugalu didn't know that, Judge.
But the point is, not only is he taking bribes, not only is he corrupt, but he is endangering the drug, the population.
But Mugalu could have been directed, during his direct examination, did you know the effects of this drug?
It doesn't matter. The point is, taking the bribes had worse consequences than simply ripping off the hospital. Right? That's the point. It had worse consequences.
It did have
now,
worse
consequences. People are blamed for the unintended consequences of their very dangerous acts, right? You have two reckless drivers. One just drives recklessly, but there's no accident. The other kills a person. He didn't intend to kill anybody, and he wasn't any more reckless than the first driver. But he gets a heavy punishment, and the first driver gets maybe a ticket, right?
I agree. I would have to agree in that hypothetical, in
this
that
is
example.
This is how people think, right? You don't understand. There's a morality in consequences. Consequences count, even when they're innocent. So you have someone taking bribes, And as a result of his taking bribes, though without his knowledge or intent, people die. A jury is going to think very badly of that person.
That may be true, but it might also be argued by his lawyer to the jury still that
Actually,
if you make such an argument, the next thing we would be here on is the ineffective assistance claim. But my lawyer set me up for a fall.
Judge, I just have to argue this.
You were protected by the district judge from the ineffective assistance argument in this case.
I was not the attorney in this case.
Yes. Were protected.
Yes. But I would have to argue that it would make some impact on a jury, even though...
Just wouldn't help a client.
Your Honor, I think that fact would still have to come out. And I think the fact of McDowell's knowledge...
But it had even been turned over. You knew from interviews, or your prior counsel knew from earlier interviews, that there had been allegations that the off-label marketing resulted in patient deaths.
No.
So he could have been confronted with that. That was turned over by the government. At least that's my understanding.
Your Honor, what was turned over was not that memorandum about the
patient. I know the memorandum, the HHS. Yes, but I'm saying there were interviews turned over where the allegations were made about the off-label marketing that resulted in patient deaths. So, I mean, counsel could have inquired about that.
He could have inquired, but I don't think that he knew.
I mean, it
knew.
Would have still been the same kind of risk.
Same
but
problem.
I just,
could have. It was available. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
if that was the defense strategy, it was available.
I thought that what he knew was just the complaints by the whistleblowers, and it didn't involve the patient deaths. That came later. It was the rebate issue, but it wasn't that the off-labeling, the use of the off-labeling, the drug off-label use caused the patient's deaths. I don't think you could have learned that from the Quaytom action. It was only in the memorandum that would have been a jumping-off point that was tendered later. It was the government confirmed that there were patient deaths. It wasn't in the civil lawsuits that anyone knew about that. It was actually a different issue. It was the actual memorandum that was given to counsel at the day of sentencing. That's what indicated to him that there were patient deaths in the case. I would go back to the morality question that you posed to me, Judge Posner. I don't think it would be an effective assistance of counsel, respectively.
Just go back to my point. So you're saying that in these interviews that the government provided, these very specific allegations about these deaths being caused was not included in that material?
That's right. It was at the end. It was the last memorandum that mentioned the confirmation of patient deaths. It wasn't in the civil lawsuit. Counsel could not have known. If he had exercised reasonable diligence, he would not have known based on what was on the documents in the civil lawsuit. It was in that memorandum that just mentions it. All it would have been was a jumping off point, and then he could have done an investigation and followed up and found out what if Lovato was in fact a target of the government and could have been charged with far more serious offenses.
What is his defense? I didn't understand that. Does he deny having received these kickbacks?
No, he didn't deny that he received it.
He's got no defense. Why?
No, he said he had legitimate speaking engagements.
No, he didn't make any speeches.
Yeah. Well, that was the government's assertion.
Well, he
conceded that he never made any speaking engagements. I thought he conceded he never made any of those speeches.
But he said it was
he said it was internal or something like
yes.
that. But there was no record of that either.
There was no record. His claim was that it was done on his off time to nurses.
When the only defense is transparent perjury, the client is really becoming just digging himself a deeper hole.
Your Honor, I'm just looking at what the government should have disclosed and had an obligation under Brady and Giglio Fiscal.
Let's discuss your other issue. I didn't discuss your other issue.
I'm sorry?
I didn't understand your other issue. You wanted to testify about the circumstances in which he spoke to a government inspector? What is that about?
Well,
what was his offer of proof? What was he going to testify?
That he felt pressure, that he didn't understand what was asked of him, and he wanted to develop the surrounding circumstances.
So what, he's claiming that that his statement was coerced?
Not coerced, but that just...
Well, I mean, there is a defense, of course, coerced statements, but what is this defense?
It wasn't coercion and it wasn't duress, his understanding and his state of mind. That's what he claimed. It was his state of mind. He wanted to explain why he made those statements.
That's legally irrelevant. Judges have to admit evidence that's relevant and exclude evidence that's irrelevant. You've just articulated something that makes it irrelevant. It would have been relevant if it were admitted, if it were sought to be admitted under 3501 to show involuntariness. But, I mean, what's left? As soon as you say it's not to show involuntariness, it's now irrelevant. What's left?
Your Honor, I must tell you,
there's
I must confess.
There's no government misconduct, right?
No, there is not government.
Okay, but if there's no government misconduct,
no.
The fact that you blurt out a confession because you're uncomfortable, maybe because you're stupid or something, crazy, nervous, that's not a dude. That's
it wouldn't have not have been a basis, I would assert, for any pretrial motion to suppress.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't have been relevant at trial. Wouldn't have been a basis to suppress.
No,
and it's otherwise completely irrelevant. That's the problem.
I mean, what if someone defendant testifies, I confess because I felt uncomfortable, or I confess because I felt guilty?
I think he. I would agree with you there.
Well, what did he want to say? I confess because what? What's the
judge? I must confess
well,
that I don't know.
But
no.
You need an offer of proof, don't you, to preserve an issue?
I saw the record, Your Honor, and I must tell you that I will concede that is Mr.
No
Regalo's. No. No, there was not an offer, a proffer of proof. Your Honor, my biggest complaint this morning goes back to the first issue. And I think that counsel could still argue legitimately to the jury
that... I think this is maybe the weakest criminal appeal I've ever seen.
I'm sorry I have to be the advocate for it, Your Honor, but I think that respectfully the first issue is a very good
issue. So then you concede on the second issue that
yes.
There's really no merit
yes.
to that.
I have trouble arguing, articulating it, to be very candid.
Okay.
I don't like conceding, but it's one I will concede. The issue is the first issue. I feel strongly about that. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Ragler.
May it please the Court, Tony Owagu on behalf of the United States. Your Honor, I'd just like to point out that the government did in fact disclose documents prior to the trial which stated that there were patient deaths occurring and that those deaths were related to Lovenox. And I'd like to just direct the Court's attention to pages 27 and 28 of the government's brief. And, Your Honor, if there are no further questions, the government will rest on its brief and ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
Thank you very much. I assume there won't be any rebuttal because there's nothing to rebut.
That's a very good assumption.
Thank you. The case is taken under advisement.